We have items of praise and thanksgiving to give to you. We also have prayers of request. Many here, Lord, are burdened with the worries of life. Health issues, financial issues, work issues, relationship issues. And Lord, I pray that you will meet them where they are. Remind them again, Father, that you are Lord of everything. Lord, we're reminded of the very last part of Matthew's Gospel where you said, Jesus, you said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And so remember, Lord, that you do have authority over heaven and earth. And you have authority over all the things that are going on in our lives. And so, Lord, we lift these burdens of our hearts up to you. We ask you to hear our prayers this morning. Father God, we have many in our congregation and our congregational family who are unwell at this time. Lord, we pray for our brother Gordon Kane, recovering from gallbladder hernia surgery. We ask you to heal him and restore him. And Lord, we pray your blessing of peace and health on Gord and Lillian, his wife. Lord, we pray for Lex Pengelly, who will be having surgery this week for cancer. Lord, we pray for her and her home and her family, for Stephen and her mother-in-law, Ruth. And we ask you to bring peace and healing and restoration to their home and to their bodies. Lord, we pray for Lisa's mother, Dorothy Kester. Lord, we pray for her health. Lord, we pray for a miracle of restoration and healing. Lord, we pray for comfort for the family as they surrender with their love and their care. Lord, we ask you to be present with them during this challenging time. Lord, we pray for our dear sister and friend Alan in a new home, Lord, and for her struggles. Lord, we ask you to remind her of your ever-present help, that you are with her every moment of the day. And we ask you to bring her comfort and peace. And Lord, we lift up to you Jeff Scobie, recovering from gallbladder surgery. We ask you to restore him to health. Yes, we return vitality and strength to his body. And now each one of you has come here this morning with something on your heart. A heaviness perhaps. Maybe a tiredness and a weariness. Meet with God now. He's here, he's present by his Holy Spirit. He is in you, he's among us. He's joining us together as a fellowship of believers. Meet with him now with your prayers, with your concerns. Lord, we give you thanks that you are present, but we just pause and sit in silence. We know you are among us. So, Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Grant each one here your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And I pray that you will lift the burdens from those who are anxious, worried, and concerned. Lord, I pray you bring healing to those who are sick and recovering. Lord, I pray you give everyone the experience of knowing your very presence in their hearts. Hear all of our prayers this morning, Father, we pray. For we do pray in the holy name of Jesus, Lord and Saviour. Amen. God chooses. God makes sovereign choices. He chooses whoever he chooses. The text for today is from Exodus 31. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 5. And it will set the theme or the tone, if you like, for our message today. Lord bless the reading of your word this morning. Exodus 31, then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship." In this short text, we read actually of the first person in Scripture who is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By God's sovereign choice, Bezalel, son of Uri, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we may tend to think, if we were asked, what kind of person would God choose to be the first person in his Scripture to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We might think that a king, or a judge, or a priest, a high priest, or maybe one of the prophets. Maybe God should choose that kind of person to be filled with his Spirit. But God does not choose the king, or the priest, or the holy person. He chose Bezalel. Now, if I ask for a show of hands, I wouldn't see many who've ever heard of the sermon on Bezalel. In fact, I'm sure many of you are saying, never heard of him. I'm getting some affirmations there. Never heard of this guy. Don't know who he is. But there he is. In Scripture. The first person that Scripture says, I have chosen him and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And why? God had some work to do. Rebuilding the tabernacle and putting things in place for worship. And so he gifted this man with skills in all kinds of crafts, to work artistic designs, in gold, silver, and bronze, to set precious stones, to work in wood, and to be a craftsman, to work with his hands. Not a priest, not a king, not a prophet, not necessarily a holy man. He worked with his hands. And by God's sovereign choice, Bezalel was filled with the Spirit and called into service. You see, God chooses whom he will choose. God chooses to gift and equip people for his purposes. There's no pre-qualifications required. You don't apply for the role. God sovereignly appoints and anoints those whom he chooses. Throughout the Old Testament, God was choosing people to do specific work, to serve in particular roles as he determined. And these people, as we take a brief look at them, if we were interviewing them for the job, we would turn them all down. But God chose them, anointed them, and appointed them, and gave them work to do. Let's look at David, King David. He was the youngest of the family, and when Samuel came looking for the man that God was going to anoint as king, his family said, "Oh, he's out in the fields, he's just looking after the sheep. Just a kid." Because he was the youngest of the family, he had the lowliest of jobs, and being a shepherd back then was the lowliest of jobs. And yet in 1 Samuel 13 it says, "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people." God chose him. But from what we know of David and his later life, he was an adulterer. He conspired to kill someone. We would say no, not suitable for the job. Can't have him. And yet God says, I choose him. I choose him. I put him in that position. What about Moses? God says to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt." And Moses said, whoa, "Who am I? Who am I to go and tell Pharaoh and bring Israelites out of Egypt?" Who was Moses? He was a killer too. He murdered an Egyptian slave master. And he was also a shepherd. When God found him, he was on the backside of the desert of Midian, tending sheep. And God chose him. If you or I interviewed him for the job, we'd say, no, not suitable. Not suitable. What about Gideon? One of the judges. The Lord turns to Gideon and he says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Gideon's hands. Am I not sending you?" But Lord, Gideon says, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Right? You got the wrong guy, God. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm from one of the small clans. I mean, we're not powerful. We're not rich. We're not influential. You must have the wrong man. And God says, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. I will be with you, and you will be successful in the calling I've called you to." We go to the New Testament, we see Matthew, a tax collector, reviled by the people for the job he was doing, despised as a collaborator with the Roman occupiers. And Jesus says, "Follow me." We'd say, "Not him, he's one of them. He doesn't qualify." Jesus says, "Follow me." He gave up what he was doing. Follow Jesus. What about Peter? Just a fisherman. So, one or two steps up from the shepherd. Just a fisherman. Rough, impulsive. And yet he denied Christ himself. And at the end of it all, when we read in John chapter 21, Peter says, "I'm going out to fish." After witnessing all he'd witnessed for 3 years with Jesus, he's basically saying, "I'm going back to what I do best. I'm going back to fish." And the apostle said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into a boat, and caught nothing that night. And that's the miracle where Jesus says, "No, throw your net on the other side." And they bring in such a catch of fish, a large fish, 153. Scripture actually says the number, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. So there's another miracle there. A miracle inside the miracle. Their nets should have broken. And they sit down with breakfast with Jesus, and Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" The commentators have some various interpretations of that. Do you love me more than you love your friends? Do you love me more than your friends love me? Or, looking around at the boats and the nets and the successful fishing business, he's got. Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" And Jesus recommissions, reinstates Peter. But if we interviewed him for the job, we'd say not suitable, because he denied Christ. God chooses whom he chooses. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Moses was 80. Moses was 80 when God said, "Go to Egypt, bring them out." There's a few here who are 80 now already. God still may have a call on your life yet. Exciting, isn't it? See, Peter was at a crossroads. Jesus had clearly chosen Peter. Decided to go back to what he was doing. And Jesus said, "No, I have another job for you. Different job." And all the way through Scripture, God doesn't choose the bright, the brilliant, the powerful, those with good articulation, those who don't speak with an accent. He doesn't choose those people. He chooses ordinary, fallen, broken, sinful, inappropriate, unqualified people. God makes sovereign choices. See, we make the mistake when we read Scripture that we think these people are larger than life. They make movies about Moses, right? And you see this grand man and powerful man, and it's not the Scripture. Those are not the images we've got. These are not powerful, authoritative people. They're just ordinary people. And this room is filled with ordinary people. Right? Anybody feel that they're extraordinary? Anybody here feel that they're ordinary? Come on, we're just ordinary people. Right? We have our failings, we have our issues, we have our concerns. And yet, those are the very people that God calls. By his sovereign will, God calls each one of us for his purposes. For his purposes. These people didn't accomplish the great things that they did, the great stories of the Scripture, in their own strength. God accomplished them in his strength through them. God's Spirit working in them accomplished what God wanted to accomplish. And that has not changed. That has not changed. Whether you're young or old, male or female, healthy or otherwise, God still has the sovereign call on your life. to call you into mission and into ministry. Sometimes people don't like that call and they try to run away, like our good friend Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Nope, I'm going to Tarshish. I want you to go northeast of where you are. He said, no, I'll go southwest. Thank you very much. Across the other side of the Mediterranean. He tried to outrun God. Not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do. God wanted Jonah to do a job. And God put all kinds of obstacles in Jonah's way, including the big fish. 3 days in the belly of the fish, vomited out on the seashore, and eventually, reluctantly, Jonah went and did God's will. And he preached the shortest and most powerful sermon ever preached. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Very economic with his words. And the whole city was saved. Imagine that. Imagine that. If you were interviewing Jonah for the job, he wouldn't have got it. But by God's sovereign choice, he chose that man. And that man was successful in his mission. God doesn't form a search committee. He doesn't call in a big name headhunter to find the right man or woman for the role. God calls, God appoints, and God wins. He has his way. We're part of this epic story of God and his creation. And he's calling each one of us to find the role that he's called us to do and to fulfill that role. And there's no retirement from God's service till he calls you home. We are always in ministry. If we are a child of God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is ministry work to be done. Even if it's prayer ministry. Even if it's just picking up the phone during the week and phoning one of the other members of the congregation and saying, praying for you and your family this week. That's ministry, that's service, that's kingdom work. See, God calls his servants just as they are. And like Peter or Jonah, sometimes we vacillate, sometimes we hesitate. Sometimes we're drawn back to our old ways of life. Sometimes we've got one foot in each camp. I want to do this, and I want to do that. And God calls us to put both feet in his camp. God calls us to stop vacillating about our priorities in life and make him and his kingdom work. Our priorities. See, when God calls you to a task or a role in the congregation, in the church, follow where God is leading. Follow humbly. Follow tentatively. That's the right word. Not in the power of your own strength, but knowing I've had this calling, it's been confirmed by the other people in the congregation. And therefore I do it in God's strength, not my own, because I have no strength of my own to do it. That's the best place to be when you're in service for the kingdom. Is to say, I'm called to do this, but I have no strength or ability in myself to do it. But by God's grace, I will do it. God has chosen each one of us for his purposes, and he now calls upon you and me to make this call on our lives our top priority. He calls you just as you are. No qualifications required. No exams to sit. No books to read. Just where you are, as you are, God is calling you to find your role in this wonderful story, this epic story that we're part of. Find your place. And carry out your job, trusting in him. You don't have to change anything when God calls. He'll do the work.
He'll clean you up. He'll fix you. He'll equip you. And as God's story continues to unfold, we're each playing the role as God has ordained. So I ask you today, is God calling you to step up to some new role, some new position in his kingdom? I ask you to pray earnestly. I ask you to listen to God speaking into your heart. Listen to the encouragement of those around you who see the work you're doing and encourage you to continue on. Now you may feel ill-equipped for the task, and so did all of these people we read about in Scripture. There's no word in Scripture where God calls someone to do something and they say, yeah, I've been waiting for you to call me to do that. It's just not there. There's always reluctance, there's always hesitation, there's always rejection, there's always fear. And we are just like those ordinary people in Scripture. Why are you calling me? Why are you anointing me for this role? How can you be appointing someone like me to do that? I'm not qualified. It's not my giftedness. And yet, you hear God calling you. You hear God calling you. So if God has made you his choice for a particular role, for a particular purpose, you're his choice. Say yes. Say, by God's strength, under the power of his Holy Spirit, I will fulfill that role. I will do what God has asked of me. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, when we read Scripture and we read of these people that you call, we always think of them as being heroes and equipped, powerful people, powerful speakers, great warriors. Lord, but when we read Scripture carefully, we realize that that is simply not the case. There is no one that you have called throughout Scripture that couldn't just be sitting in these pews today. And so, Lord, again I ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, for your calling on each one of our lives. Light a fire in us, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this place and fill us each with that sense of calling. And I pray that each one of us will realize that we're being called just as we are. No pre-qualifications required. Lord, inspire each one of us, I pray, to live up to what you've called us to be and to do in your kingdom work. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Indeed, as we are called to the Lord's table today, the Lord bids us to come as you are. If you're with us today and you come from a different tradition or a different denomination, but you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are welcome at his table. For the table is for all who are called children of God. So I welcome you to come this morning. Can I have the service come forward, please?
We gather here again this day at the Lord's table. The Lord bids us welcome, he bids us come as we are. But he does tell us in Scripture to not come unworthily to the table. Those of you who have made faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome at the table. But Scripture cautions us about coming to the table in an unworthy manner. We must examine ourselves and see if there's any unrighteousness in us, and we must confess our sins to God before coming to his table. So I invite you now, each one of you, in the quietness of your own heart, to meet again with your God and to bring confession for those sins you know that need to be confessed. So let's take a moment of silence as we confess our sins to our God. Scripture reminds us that God is faithful. When we confess our sins, he is quick to forgive us. If you have confessed your sins this morning to God, you are cleansed, and he invites you now to come to his table to receive the elements of the bread and the cup, symbolizing his body and his blood, which were given for us. And I'll ask Pete and Tim to give a prayer for the elements.
Our awesome God and Father in Christ Jesus, we thank you for all the ways that you give of your Spirit to us and for us. Forgive us for ways that we've pushed down your work and other people around us. Help us to recognize the value of your sacrifice for each and every person, no matter what we may want to bear against them. Help us to recognize your body rightly, and so turn from such sins, and truly recognize the giving of your body and your blood for each and every one of us. So bless us now in your mercy and in your awesome grace in the receiving of these elements. Help us to recognize that sacrificial giving spirit of yours that you so clearly manifested in your Son Jesus, that we would be tender and brokenhearted and fully willing to give for one another in this world. For your name's sake and your glory, we thank you in this remembrance today and praise you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night before he gave his life for us, he was at supper with the disciples, and he took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take this and eat, all of you. This is my body given for you." When supper was finished, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for the remission of sins. Take this and drink it, all of you." Let us drink this cup together, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us, and be thankful. As you go from here today, go thinking, praying of what God's call is on your life. What mission, ministry is he calling you to serve in his kingdom? Go in peace today, know that God loves you and he calls you. Go in peace. Amen.